Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name is Rob Seltzer, and much like Patrick Van Aanholt, we are frustrating, we are erratic, but we're sometimes absolutely brilliant. Today, joining me off his deathbed is Dale Courtney. How are you, Dale?
I am good, Rob. How are you, mate?
Very well, very well. Loving the new digs we can see there. Excellent. Good to have you back, mate.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Marky Werner, north in sunny Brisbane. How are you, buddy?
Good, mate. Yeah, I've been battling a few fires today that was very close to home, yeah. but I'm here and alive and well, scorch-free.
Good to hear, mate. Good to hear. Yeah, hopefully they don't come too near you. And a place that is not going to get fires for at least 6 months, that's Ned Rock in freezing cold Melbourne. How are you, Ned?
I'm very freezing cold. Feel free to, you know, just shoot a couple of those fires down this way, Mark. Glad to hear they're not affecting you too badly, but I've got every heater on the house on and it is absolutely freezing here. So that's Australia for you. Just all of the climate's just completely fucked.
Exactly. And for all you listeners there, Dale bought a fire pit for his new place last week. The day after he bought it, it was 28 degrees. So we can blame Dale for the global warming that's now happening early in spring. All right, fellas. Look, good news is Optus has the Champions League, so we won't have to buy any other subscriptions next season because Palace will be on a Champions League campaign by the start of that. So, which is always good to hear. Good to see. But I'm going to come to Dale straight away. 7 points from the first four games of the season that the lineup we had. How are you happy with that? Would you want more? Do you think that's par? Are we above average? How do you think we've gone?
We cannot complain. 7 points, four games. We haven't had the toughest start, but to take 7 points,
United away. United away.
Well, we haven't had the toughest starts. to sit fourth with 7 points, let's be honest, it's brilliant. It's bonus points. Last season with bloody, what's his name in charge? De Boer. Look what's going on. We'll take this any day of the week.
Nice. And Mark, you singing from a similar hymn sheet?
Yeah, absolutely. All day long, yeah. If you said fourth position after four rounds, 7 points, two goals conceded, having it all day long. If you want to break it down in typical fashion, you could probably poke at a few areas where we might have done better. But on the outset, mate, yeah, I'm loving the table at the moment and how it looks, and long may it continue. I can't say that out laughing, of course.
Exactly, and I like the fact that you already started nitpicking, which is good because we're going to nitpick the whole way through this podcast. So you've set the tone out nice and early there.
Yeah,
perfect.
Man.
Well done, Mark. And our southern friend down there, what about you, mate? How are you feeling about it, Ned?
Oh, look, I'm going to take the unpopular opinion here, and I don't think that we'll hold on to the Champions League spot this year. I have already booked flights to Moldova for the Europa League qualifiers next season. Can't wait for us to play Sheriff Tiraspol. I think that's going to be a really good clash in about July next year. So that'll be fun. It'll be a good trip. But I don't think we'll hold the Champions League spot. But I mean, Europa League, book your flights. Done deal.
Yeah, I can only concur with everything that's said, apart from the fact that we obviously will make Champions League. For Ned, you're new to the pod, and you have to be absolutely optimistic and unrealistic, as you noticed by our predictions last pod, which I've already lost because we didn't sign a striker. So now I have to hope either McCarthy or Camarasa will be our top goal scorer. So that's not coming in.
In fairness, Rob, we could sign someone in January.
True,
and they could score six goals and win the top scorer.
True, that's. You make a good point, but I don't think we can ask for any more either. It's 7 points. Obviously, you look at the start, you'd have taken the point against Everton at home, for sure. You'd have thought, if we're going to get two wins, it'll be Sheffield United and Villa. And we just got the United the wrong way around, really. But what pleases me is that we've got more points at home than we have away. Now, we've got four at home and three away. That'll do.
Long
way that continuing along, isn't it?
Four games.
We'll talk about it in a second.
Only four games.
Stop it. Don't start already. Come on.
Four games, exactly. So that's a 50% record of at home. We're looking very good without losing.
We'll take that all day long.
Out of those four.
We'll take that all day long. And so that will move nicely on to the man that's leading this charge from the top. That's Mr. Roy Hodgson. So Cummins a lot of stick. I've given him a lot of stick. I'll hold my hands up. I'm still nonplussed about him, to be honest with you, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But what do you think? I'll start with you, Ned. You were last time, so you get first go this time. I mean, Roy's tactics, his in-game management, which has been criticised before, his in-game management, his selections. How are you feeling? I know it's only four games, but how are you feeling with the players we've brought in and the players that Roy's picking?
Well, I think we spoke about the players that we brought in last time, and, you know, the ones. I mean, Gary Cahill's obviously had a very good start. Jordan Ayew has suddenly turned into a world-class footballer, which I don't think anyone saw coming. But, I mean, with regards to Roy, I mean, I did have to have a laugh watching the United game where you get Roy, who never makes a change, never does anything positive, 1-0 up at Old Trafford, and he's sitting there bringing on strikers in the 60th minute, just really just pushing extra, trying to get that second goal. And you're sort of sitting there going, I'm not quite sure that's the game I'd be going for there. I think at the 80th minute, when you're a goal up, I think anyone who's ever played defence before, I'd be bringing on. I'd probably bring on the second goalkeeper, just stick him between the posts as well, and just see if we can hold on. But look, I mean, as I say, 7 points out of the first four games, can't argue with that. And if he keeps spitting out the results, then I'll be more than happy for him to just continue to do that.
Yep, true. What about you, Mark? What your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think my opinion of him probably hasn't changed greatly since last season, and I kind of sided with yourself, Rob, in that he's a safe pair of hands, but we've possibly hit the glass ceiling with him, and at best we're probably only expecting, you know, worst case scenario 14th, 15th, or best case scenario 9th or 10th. Getting back to just judging him on this season, bit of same, 70, 75th minute, 80th minute sub, often a like for like, so not making great waves on the pitch. But then I think he's in a position too where he's got a couple of new head of cattle, probably working out his preferred formation, what our best formation is, which has changed greatly just in those four games we've had already. From what I can gather, he's trying to get a few minutes into Wickham's legs. He's got sort of Benteke on ice, letting Ayew do his thing. Max Meyer's still got a question mark over him. So I think he's probably, how should I say, safely and methodically working his way through those things that he's got to work out. So at the moment, yeah, fourth spot, 7 points, lovely jubbly, but we'll see.
And Dale, you, what do you think?
I think, let's be honest, Ned mentioned the United game. Just pulled it up here, right? Two things for me which I think sum up Roy. And I've always said I'm not fussed about him, right? Take the Villa game, 1-0 up, hanging on a little bit. He brought on Townsend and Benteke, right, when we were hanging on a little bit. What did Villa do when they went a man down? They brought on another striker to try and stretch us. They knew then we couldn't just take the piss and have one less at the back. Kept us honest. Roy would never do that, and that's down to Roy. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. And to Ned's point, that United game was just hilarious. You know, taking off a goal up and taking off Chalup and bringing on Townsend and taking off Keyote for MacArthur. He was a bit of a battler, but still, just bonkers. It was nuts. I didn't actually know who that man was in the dugout that day. That was nuts. So I don't know, he's got his ideas, it works for him. Again, we can't complain, it's 7 points from four games. Last year was a record points tally. Are we going to play this really attractive cutting-edge triple? No. Are we going to be 100% safe and potentially improve on last year? Yes.
Yeah, I take all them those points, but this is my take on it. This is my take on it. After we were rolled by the might of Colchester in the League Cup with a lot of first team players on the pitch, I tweeted I was bored of the season already, and a friend of mine He's a Spurs fan who I actually rate. He knows a lot about football. He's very knowledgeable. So how can he be bored? He just won at Old Trafford. And it kind of, we went into this to and fro, and other people got involved too. And it's like, it came down to the fact that I know how we're going to play for the rest of the season. I know who our midfield will be. I know what we're going to try and do away from home. The blueprint is, you know, stick nine behind the ball and try and break, which is fine. Works away. Perfect. Doesn't work at home. Boring as batshit. So then when we play that way against United, and then we put the same midfield in who are workmanlike. Kouyaté has been classed, don't get me wrong, but McArthur is workmanlike. Luka sits in front of the back four. We don't have that spark. And as you rightly said there, Dale, when Villa went down to 10, they brought on whatever the young kids, the young striker.
Keenan Davis.
That's him. Gave it a go. Last year when we played Watford in the FA Cup, remember, like, it was... We just scored. Batshuayi just equalised. And rather than trying to... And then Gracia, even though he's just gone today, I think he has, he took off a defensive midfield and put Andre Gray in what, 15 seconds, he'd scored the winner. And then we just don't react. We're 1-0 up against Villa. We're bossing the game, completely bossing it. They're down to 10. Take off McArthur. Bring on Camarasa. Bring on Maya. Bring on someone that might be able to just unlock the door a little bit. Put the foot on the throat. It took a moment of Jordan Ayew's brilliance to win that game. Otherwise, we'd be sitting here saying, we battered Villa, didn't score again at home, and they were down to 10 men again. And look, it nearly happened at the end anyway. We're not going to talk about that incident. It's been done to death. It's boring me. But I feel that I watched the game. Of course, I'll stay up. I'll watch the game. I won't stay up. We all know I won't stay up because I'm old. I've got kids, so I won't stay up and watch most of them. But I will watch them all. But I'm just not excited. I'm not excited about the home games. I'm not excited about any of it, really. Unless we start seeing some changes in the approach, in who we play, and in, you know, we go horses for courses. You know, when we play in your Villas, your Sheffield United, your Bournemouth, your Brightons, we have a couple of attacking players in there. When we're playing City, Liverpool, Spurs, Arsenal, I don't want to go toe-to-toe with them. It's embarrassing. But I want to go toe-to-toe with the teams that we should go toe-to-toe with.
But you know what? Well, I'll just say, the funny thing is, though, when we play those bigger teams, we almost do go toe-to-toe with them because they allow us to play our football. So it's almost like those teams, I feel, are becoming scared of us because they know that if they come at us the way they do, we're just going to go at them and catch them on a counter-attack. So even though it's not playing passing football out the back, it almost is going toe-to-toe because that's how we play. Totally understand the at home it's boring, it doesn't work kind of thing. But if, and I know we've said this now for two seasons, if we sort out the striker situation at home, we are going to be a completely different side. Because I actually think we don't play that bad of football in patches and we do enough not to lose. So it's just finding that way to win.
Yeah, agreed. But when I think it's been said, we're seven seasons into the Premier League now. We shouldn't be finding ways not to lose to teams that we should be beating now. I think we should be, you know, we should be aiming for that 8th to 12th spot. But we're not. We're aiming for 15th, I think. And you should, look, that's just me.
I guess my question to you from that, Rob, though, would be, do we have the attacking players, other than, say, a Wilf Zaha who can run at players, do we have the people who can unlock defences and score a bucket load of goals? Do we have those players?
How do we know? How do we know? Because he never plays them. He never plays a formation that might allow that. You look at all the play people, the Cardiff fans talking about Camarasa from last season, waxing lyrical about him, thinks he was absolutely brilliant, has got the ability to unlock a door.
In a team that went down,
Exactly. So he did all that stuff in a team that went down. It's like Andy Johnson scored 23 goals for us, and he went in a team and went down. But he still got England cap out of it. He did well. Max Myers, Dale rightly put in the chat, the WhatsApp group. He's when he's playing for Schalke, he owned Real Madrid. He ran the Real Madrid midfield all over the place. He was capped by Germany in an attacking midfielder role 2 years ago. So he's clearly got ability. We don't play the type of football we play is, and it's been said on other podcasts. I think Hambo on Back of the Nest says it best. Is like, you can see the shape. They're more worried about their shape and staying in their shape. So, you know, and we allow Wilf to do whatever Wilf wants to do, understandably. But so having an attacking midfielder who isn't set on being in shape and isn't set on getting back and isn't set on getting tight all the time, it's not what Roy wants to do. It's not exciting, but as Dale said, we'll draw and win probably more than we lose, which will keep us up, but it won't take us any further forward.
I don't mind us. The shape defensively, I've got no issue with. I think that's important. It's the most important thing.
Of course, you have to have shape. Our issue is
just sticking the ball in the back of the net. Home or away, it's sticking the ball in the back of the net. We will never... The lineup we have at the moment is good. It does a job. I know what you're saying. We're not going to pass the ball around and walk it in the net. We're going to score thunderbolts. We're going to get penalties, whatever else. If it's not Wilf or it's not Max, that's it. I think part of me just thinks you have to accept that. At the moment, that's who we are because we have Roy, and that's how it is. We tried to change it once. Who knows what will have happened with Frank de Boer, but it didn't look good four games in. And that's the risk we take. We roll the dice. We get someone who wants to play expansive football. We buy players and we could get relegated and cripple the club financially. Or we go safe pair of hands. We play semi-attractive football, but in reality, it's not the greatest. But you know what? We're staying in the Premier League. We're finishing between 10th and 15th and everyone's happy, hopefully.
Yeah, I am. Don't get me wrong. I'd much rather be in the Premier League than anywhere else. And of course, I know what this is going to come across as, like, you're never happy, well, et cetera, et cetera. But I just feel that, as Mark said, Roy's got the glass ceiling. We're at that glass ceiling. If people want to see this more attacking football, it's not going to come this year. It's not going to come at home. And, I mean, is he going to retire at the end of the season? Who knows? I think he probably will, considering all the crap he thought he was trying to with the transfer window. But of course, it's very much a case of be careful what you wish for. And I mean, I don't want another Frank de Boer. If you give me the choice of a Roy for this season, just, you know, keeping a steady, building a team that keeps us up, or a Frank de Boer, I'll take the Roy any time. But what will be left behind? He's brought in, we've got 1,000 central midfielders, a lot of defensive central midfielders. We've got a right back, a left back. We know Roy tried to change that, but it didn't happen. We've got two strikers that I've only given contracts to so we can sell them at some point. So the person that comes in isn't going to, and Wilf will be gone. So the person that's going to come in isn't going to inherit this type of squad. He's going to inherit something that he's got to do something with. That's moulded to a Roy mould, and it's going to take a whole ton of time to change that.
I agree with that. And I'll just say this, I know, like, Mark's sitting there probably bored out of his mind. If we do sell Wilf, then do you know the one man I'd want to be at the helm when we do it? I want it to be Roy, because I think he would find a way to keep us being competitive and effective without our main weapon.
What do you reckon, Mark? Last word and it will move on, because we're probably boring everyone else.
No, you're right. It was interesting listening to your chat and your take there on it. And yeah, I'd have to agree with that too. I think just to tap onto a few things that you mentioned, yeah, I think he'll probably go at the end of the season. Roy, I think that chat may have already been had in the boardroom. He's probably not going to load the club up with a heap of his players, knowing that he's going to be out the door in one or two windows' time. Obviously, we need to do some good business in the January window and maybe prop up what business we didn't get done in the summer window just gone. I think that, you know, if you speak to the powers that be in the club, they'll say, yeah, look, we're going for 8th, you know, through 12th, but in reality we're going to finish, you know, 15th. So we'll just see how it goes. I mean, there's lots of clubs in a lot worse positions, and you know, obviously, there's always talking points and points of conjecture, but yeah, we're in reasonable shape, mate. So hopefully, we plod along and do the Palace thing. And yeah, look, let's face it, safety is paramount, and at the moment, we're certainly looking on track for that. So
yeah,
and plus, I mean, it'll be a lot easier at the end of the season to sign players when we're in a Champions League.
Yeah,
come in, he already likes the red and blue. So, I mean, It's much easier to look at it that way too.
It's true. Do you know what, and before we get thousands of letters in complaining about how negative I am, I want to say I do back Roy. I'm just a bit bored. That's all. That was it. Moving on. Moving on then to something that's much more exciting. We're going to go to our resident African expert, Ned Rock, here. Jordan, are you? Where has this come from?
Yes.
Is this the best £2.5 million ever spent? One. Two, is he the next African Messi? Two. Three, is he going to score 500 goals for Palace?
Well, I'll start with point three. He's not going to score 500 goals for Palace. He's going to score 700.
There we go.
Okay. Obviously, you know, I've been a huge Jordan Ayew fan forever. I've never said anything negative about him, and there's no evidence of that anywhere. I've always thought he was going to come good at some point, and just everything that I've ever said is completely positive. But, I mean, yeah, look, he's gone to the African Cup of Nations. He's had a good tournament there. Scored a couple of goals against, you know, Equatorial Guinea's finest and Burundi or whoever it was in the group stages that they came up against. And, cracking finishes. I will give him credit there. But, yeah, he's had a bit of confidence there. And he's come back and he's obviously brought that with him. I mean, maybe it was just, you know, the case of last year he needed to settle in and get used to playing in a team that doesn't give the ball to the strikers very often. And now that he's used to that, he realises he's going to get four touches a game, he's got to make the most of them. And so far, so good. So hopefully he keeps banging him away. Hopefully he is the next African Messi, and hopefully he does score 500 goals for us. But yeah, look, we're four goals in, 496 to go.
All right, look, Dale, I will obviously come to you, Dale. I know you're chomping at the bit to get this, but I have to get Mark's version out of the way first. Before we let Dale loose on it. So, Marky Mark, what your thoughts on the permanent Jordan Ayew as opposed to the on loan Jordan Ayew?
Yeah, what an acquisition. 2.5 mil, great bit of business. And we're all caught up in the hype. He'd done this before. He went on a 2-2 goal scoring spree last season from memory, one in the cup, I think, and another one prior. So he's done it all before, which is probably why we got the checkbook out for him this time round. But in all seriousness, it was always going to be a free hit with Jordan. I think for that price, he's got a great motor. He'll run around all day, not necessarily with any form of effectiveness, but he'll run around all day. And I think a lot of Palace players like that. Like if you're, you know, not cutting the mustard, just look busy, you know. And he's got that in spades. And Roy speaks very highly of him. So there's no more dedicated on the training pitch than Jordan. And look, he's certainly proven his worth at the moment. So, yeah, rock on.
Go on then, Dale.
No, look, all I'm going to say is, as someone who's half Ghanaian and watched Jordan in the African Cup of Nations and have followed his career a little bit, so obviously him and his brother are both at Marseille, Lorient, Villa, Swansea, then to us. The guy can play. The guy is a good player. He's a bit headless at times, and he's streaky. And I actually heard someone describe him recently as one of the most frustrating players because he's got all the skills, just don't know what he's going to do with it. Personally, I'm chuffed to see him doing well. He's done it before. I think his goal-scoring records when he was in France were actually fairly decent. Is he going to be the next Messi? God, no. Is he going to score 500 goals? No, we'll be lucky if he gets five. but he will give us something that other strikers at the club won't. And we've seen it in the last couple of games. He will run his nuts off. He's actually quite good at shielding and holding up the ball. And the confidence he got, I think, from scoring against Guinea-Bissau in the African Cup of Nations, look it up, it is one heck of a goal. It's showing. It's showing. And I think we are, as Palace fans, we're going to benefit from this because a confident Jordan Ayew is somebody who will just try things. And let's be honest, the Villa goal, there was nothing on. There was no, you know, he made the run, yes, but he should never have got through two players. He got a bit lucky, but what a finish. And that's a guy with confidence. So long may it continue, and hopefully it permeates through the rest of the strikers in the squad.
100% agree. Look, I do have to take everyone back to my favourite Jordan Ayew moment, though, that was being outrun by Victor Lindelof, who had pulled his groin, was moving with a crutch, I believe, at the same time on one leg, and still outsprinted him to knock the ball out of play. A quite stunning effort that was. I agree with everything that's said there. He's brilliant. He's worked hard. I mean, he's not just winning the ball. He's actually backtracking, winning the ball, and in the same moment, in the same movement, taking that player on. It's quite brilliant, some of the stuff he's doing. I'm just thinking that with what Dale and Mark said, we just Palace love a try. Palace, we like the football club of all. You know, when you're a kid and you shout and you get like manager's player of the season or most improved player, we're the team that signs all of those players. he tries really hard to.
Yeah, Bakary Sacco. Yeah,
exactly. He manages player of the season, not players player, because all the other players hate him. They don't want him in the team, but they know he's rubbish. Not fans player, because they don't want him because they know he's rubbish. They give it the manager's player because you have to award people something, and they all end up at Palace.
Yeah.
Cameron Jerome, Jordan Ayew, Adeyakin Bayi, Chef Kikuchi, the list goes on.
Premier League safe haven.
That's it. All right, look, moving from one hero to another, really. A lot's been said about Will, and a lot's been said about his performances. I'll come to my take later on. But Mark, what do you think? What have you seen from Will? Do you think, does he look disinterested? Does he look like he's just a little bit unfit? What have you taken from Will since he's come back?
Initially there was the evident thing that came, and that raised a lot of eyebrows, because that was a lot of people saw that very much as a step sidewards and not to a club that would be playing Champions League football. As it turns out, four rounds in, boom, he's got that move without going anywhere, and can stay living exactly where he is and just have a quick drive north to support his boyhood team of a weekend if he wants to, and everyone's happy. In answer to how he's looked, the sort of game, Everton game, I think he'd only had two training sessions that week, sent home on the Friday. I think he got about, 18 minutes or 22 minutes or something on the pitch. Didn't really look that interested, was doing his usual trickery, but didn't really look like he was busting a gut. Sheffield United, I didn't see a great deal more for him, but I think maybe someone had gotten his ear, and for Man U and Villa, I thought he was much more switched on and was a bit more Wilf of old. I think it's, for us, it's sometimes a good thing if he's getting kicked about and he's really turning it on, and he's expressing a bit of emotion. I want to see that, because that's a guy that's interested and is doing what he's doing 100%. So I think he's got to have people in his corner saying, mate, you still got to play good footy here. There's no point in throwing your toys out the pram because your big miracle move didn't come off. Mate, it's head down, grind away, and look, we keep doing the business. He can pack his bags for Europe, so we'll see.
What do you reckon, Dale? What are your thoughts on?
I just think his head's been turned. He's, for whatever reason, and it's taken him a bit of time just to get himself going again. It's, the Everton game when he came on, you could see he actually looked quite sheepish when he came on, when the crowd gave him a clap. Sheffield United away, well, he wasn't himself, let's be honest. He should have made them look stupid every time he got the ball. He didn't. United looked a bit better, but still not quite there. Villa, yeah, I'll give him Villa. I think there were times there when he looked back on song. As Mark said, we need to see someone who's passionate to play. But then I understand it must be difficult, because if you turn around and said you want to go, can you be there and start beating your chest and kissing the badge? Probably not, because then you look like a bigger mug when you've already said you want to go. So I don't know. I mean, Are we a better side with him? Yeah, of course we are. If he doesn't want to be there, he needs to go. Of course he does. But in the meantime, this is a job, right? Let's be brutally honest. It's a job. And if I want to leave my job and I get offered, I've had interviews and I don't get offered it somewhere else, I go back into work the next day, I've still got to perform. So as far as I'm concerned, he's still got to perform. And this isn't me having a go at Wilf of the old, they all hate Wilf. This is just the truth. He's got to perform. He's got to play football. And do you know what? You go out there, you make people look like mugs, and in January or next summer when someone turns around and says, hey, Steve, here's 75 million plus a pretty decent forward or something for Wilf Zahar, and they say, yes, you've earned it then, you're going to get the move. If you sulk and play like a mug, no one's going to take you.
That's a good, very, that last point is one I was going to make as well, so very good point. Go on, Ned.
Well, I think there's some valid points we made there, but I think the other thing that we need to remember, and obviously as both Mark and Dale have touched on, he has been slowly improving, and I think we need to also remember he hasn't had a pre-season at all. He went to the African Cup of Nations, came back, the week before the Everton game. There's all the off-field distractions as well, which won't have helped him. But I think even if he had turned around in the off-season and said, yep, fully committed, want to stay at Palace forever, no interest in going anywhere else, blah, 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 I think you still would have seen, you wouldn't have seen Wilf at his best from round one, because, as I say, he's had pre-season of 5 days. Everyone else has been there for 2 months. So I think it can work, you know, differently for different players. Obviously, Jordan Ayew came in from last year and, you know, wasn't in great form, picked up that form at the African Cup of Nations and has carried it through. Wilf was in good form, went to the African Cup of Nations, was okay here and there, but, you know, he's probably just a bit knackered, to be honest. You then throw in all the mental distractions and you go, okay. So I think really for me to see where he's at, I think it's the next run of games that come up is going to be the ones that show us, is he interested? Does he want to be here? I'm willing to give him the first few because, as I say, you know, you don't have a pre-season, you don't have a preparation to play. You can't expect to be, you know, just walk straight in at your best and at your peak pace. But now he's had a month to get back into it, and I think if we should hopefully start to see the Wilf of old over the next few weeks. If we don't see that, then yeah, I think you got to accept that. Maybe his head's not in it and he's not interested anymore. But I think, give him a month.
Yeah, no, all good points and all that I agree with. I mean, the couple of things that I'll probably add to it, I think one thing that's most important, the other thing that's really important, is what Dale said. If he throws his toys out the pram and doesn't play good football, then clubs are still going to look at him as the failure, the failure from Man United. He didn't make it a top four club and he had to come back. That's always going to hang over him. So if he throws his toys out the pram to try and get that move again, I don't think he ever gets a move personally. But good point about you know, no pre-season. For me, the other thing we've got to think about as well is he's now going to be under scrutiny from every Palace fan. They're going to look at him they're going to be looking at him differently. They're going to expect a lot more from him. You know, you wanted to leave, you said you want to leave, but you've got to stay now, you've got to pull it in for Palace, blah, 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 blah. You know, people take this stuff far too seriously. So all of a sudden, every move is under scrutiny. If he's not smiling or not firing brimstone all the time, they're like, well, he wants to leave. You know what, some people just have off days. I mean, against Sheffield United, no pre-season as proven, the whole team are crap. I mean,
yeah, terrible.
You can pick that Sheffield United game and be like, well, Luka doesn't want to play for us anymore. You know, Maka doesn't play for us anymore.
Could pick Luka every week so far.
I think there's 11 didn't want to play anymore.
It's been awful.
Exactly. But
what we've got to take into account with Wilf, right, is that this for me is the thing about Wilf. He knew what going to the African Cup of Nations would mean. He knew when he chose to play for the Ivory Coast what it would mean. And he knew that if he was at Crystal Palace, that regardless of if he goes to these tournaments or not, he's the man. So he actually got off lightly with the African Cup of Nations because everyone was expecting Ivory Coast to win it. And they did not. I'll give Keyote the first couple of games, the first four games of the season, because he was in a team that got to the final. He was captain and he was playing centre-back in that team. Wilf's team got to the quarterfinals, got knocked out. So he probably had two weeks less. And I know we give him a rest and whatever else, but to come on and not even put in, the AU shifts that we've seen from Jordan Ayew, that is the issue. That's what you got to look at as well.
You really do hate
him.
Yeah,
I really do. No, I don't. I just, you know, I want the best for the guy. And I want him to go to Paris Saint-Germain. I want him to be the main man. Because if Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting, whatever his name is, can go to Paris Saint-Germain and score goals, then so can Wilf.
Well, you can also put in the worst misses. Yes, true. PSG.
I see what you're saying, Dale, but I don't think that Jordan Ayew's come back brimming with confidence. And he's come back when, let's be honest, no Palace fan was jumping for joy that, you know, that was our sign.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's too bothered. So he's put into, and he's won the fans over. Wilf doesn't need to do that. His head was turned. We know that. He wanted to leave. We know that. Everton is probably sulking.
But Wilf does need to do it because he turned around and basically mugged the club off. No matter how you look at it, put in a transfer request the day before or the day the window closes, is mugging the club off. So do you know what? He does have to come back and he does have to win over fans to a certain extent. He's got a lot in the bank because, you know, he basically got us promoted. He's won us games on his own. He's Wilf. He's got a lot in the bank of everyone. Take that. But he also almost ruined it all with the stunt that he tried to pull.
You know, there's bridges that have been burnt that will never, I don't think, will be rebuilt, and there's some bridges that will be mended during the season. I just think he's under much more of a microscope. I expect to see a much better Wilf in the next few weeks anyway. I thought against Villa he was pretty damn good. I mean, everyone saw the point where he tried to flick the ball when there's like Grealish, the right back and the centre midfielder all flying into him. I mean, he's still getting that attention. And you know what I've noticed as well? And I don't know if anyone else is, or it's me just trying to kid myself, is that we're not playing through him as much. Obviously,
we're not.
We're not playing. So I'm not bothered by that at all. Look, we are preparing for life after Wilf with him on the pitch.
But that,
so there's always that outlet, but
that's the best way to do it.
Best way to do it. And I think a lot of that is coming down, we're going to keep bringing it in his name. I think a lot of that is coming down to Ayew. He is not.
Yeah, 100%.
He's not just trying to head up and find Wilf. He's doing stuff himself. He's finding other players. So, look, I want Wilf to play until January because, you know, he might go then. Until whenever he leaves, I want him to be the main man. I want him to be fire and brimstone. I want him to be the guy that when the crowd start having a go at him, he just pins his ears back, does something outrageous and basically says, look at how good I am, up yours. That's the boy I want to see back in that shirt.
Agreed. I think we will get it, but I just think it just takes a little bit of time. I just think, you know, he had a little sulk. He's getting better fit now. It's not happening until January, so we'll see how it goes. Look, I might come back and eat my words, but who knows? All right. All right, guys, this question that everyone's thinking, you know, all teams are worried. Can we keep it going? Are we going to stay in the Champions League spots? Yes or no? Dale?
No. There is...
Boo.
There's one team or two teams every year that go out there, unexpected, fast start, and it fades away. No matter... And everyone would go around and say, oh, but Leicester won the league.
Have you heard of Leicester
City,
Dale?
There we go. That's it. I was waiting for it. But, you know, we did it under Pardew, right? We did it under Pardew. And every year there's a team. We've got to take this as just bonus points, right? And let's enjoy it whilst we can. Let's sit there. Let's all laugh at Brighton because they're nowhere near fourth place. Let's enjoy it whilst we can. Because the reality is, when the league sorts itself out, there'll be the top six in some order. There'll be Leicester, there'll be Wolves, there'll be Everton, then there'll be Palace. And we just got to be content with that.
Well, can I jump in there, Dale? I mean, yes, I mean, obviously what you said is correct. But I think we're not going to make Champions League, obviously. But I think if you look at it and you go, well... Look, there is always that one team that jumps out the gaps, but quite frequently that one team does sneak a Europa League spot.
Yeah.
I mean that has happened.
I want it to be us. Like I would love for it to be us. I'm going to say something, and I'm hoping my wife's probably going to peep around the corner and give me a raise the eyebrow. Because if we get in the Europa League, I'll come back for a game. I would love to see Palace in Europe.
Hell yes, absolutely, everyone would be there.
We would be straight to Romania, straight on the flight to Romania.
I'm just looking at it and trying to be a little bit realistic and saying, I don't think we will hang on to a top 8 or 9 place.
I think
there's a difference between not being, I don't think we will either, but I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility. Which is what I'm clinging on to.
Yeah, see, I agree with that. I mean, obviously we're not making Champions League. Jesus Christ. Boo, Robert, boo. but you never know. That team, it's just like, you know, you watch a long-distance race, you let someone get out too far in front and you just can't catch them.
Yeah, agree.
You know, we get the jump on that cluster of Leicester, Wolves, Everton. We get a jump on them and it just, you know, the results keep coming. All of a sudden, it's March and we're going to make it. Go on, Mark. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I mean, if Wilf takes Dale's advice and starts acting a bit more like Jordan Ayew, we're a chance, aren't we?
Yes, Mark. Yes. Yes, Mark.
Messi and Neymar in the same team.
In all seriousness, yeah, I can only agree. I thought all you boys said that... you know, it would be a lofty ambition to try and hang on to a European spot, gagging for it. But yeah, like you say, I mean, it's like a, you know, competition in a magazine or lotto. Someone's got to fucking win it. So, you know, we could put a hand up and do, you know, a Burnley or a Fulham or something and jag that last spot. And who knows after that, you know, off to is it Sheriff FC? And is that where Jack is at the moment or...
Yeah, that's where I pulled that name from. Earlier.
We can that's where he's
reunite
with him. Obviously, he'd score against us, but hopefully we'd score one more than them. But yeah, I mean, let's just dare to dream and enjoy it while we can click on that table button and look and see a little green panel next to Palace's name. It's quite nice.
That's it. That's what I wanted everyone to say. That's what I wanted everyone to say. What Mark just said there. But no, all of you gave me rubbish. No, we're not going to make it. No, and then Mark comes along. That's what we need. That's the positivity. That's the energy, lads. From now on, that's the energy. Okay. None of this rubbish is not going to make it.
Rob, I think Roy Hodgson's got one more Europa League final.
There you go. Yeah. There we are. That's it. Here we go. Now we're rocking and rolling. We're only 45 minutes into the podcast, and now we're going. Good stuff. All right. Right. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to wrap up with a very exciting new segment, actually thought up by our very own new boy, Ned. So, Ned, I'm going to let you kind of introduce it because, to be honest with you, I don't quite understand what you're writing in the WhatsApp group, but it's not the first thing I haven't understood you said. So, introduce it, tell you what we're going to do, and let's do it.
Alrighty. So, I think what we're going to introduce is, so each week one of us is going to come up with a Palace player who's got a bit of a link, obviously a link to Palace, or former Palace player who's got a bit of a link to both Palace and the Australian game, just to keep the local flavour over here. So I'm going to open up with a reasonably tough one. But so when I first started watching Palace back in about 95-96, I had a thing for fullbacks, particularly rampaging left-footed fullbacks. So I'm going to throw out Dean Gordon as my name for this week. Uh-huh. So can anyone give me the link between Dean Gordon and Australian football? And also, as a little bit of a bonus point, can anyone tell me how it relates to him turning down playing against Barcelona?
Oh, my Whoa. God.
That's a stunning one. I mean, I follow him on Twitter. Does that count? I'm Australian. Oh, I live in Australia now and I follow him on Twitter.
Quite close. I think Mark's going to be our most likely here.
Mate, for starters...
It's a fairly straightforward link initially.
This is all 10 years before I even laid eyes on Crystal Palace. Before that, I just knew it was a place where a world fair was held.
Mate, watch up. YouTube Dean Gordon and see some of his goals.
Some of those goals are absolutely stunning.
I'm going to go, Ned, with he turned down... the chance to play for a Queensland team or an Australian team who ended up being in a World Club Cup and played against Barcelona.
That is very, very close, Dale. I'm going to give you the points. It wasn't quite a Queensland team. He actually
can I jump in on that one, Ned?
Sorry.
Is it the a team that played in the New Zealand Domestic League in the World Club Cup?
You are Auckland United,
Auckland City,
something like that.
So,
but he was he went and played at Auckland City, and I'm assuming there's no googling there. They're done. Well done. But you know, he was playing, moved to New Zealand to play in their local league, and then the New Zealand Knights came along into the A League, and they were probably the worst football team ever created, but they were a fully professional outfit as opposed to Auckland City, and so he jumped at the chance to have one last crack at the big time in the start of the A League, and obviously Auckland City ended up playing Barcelona in the Club World Cup, and he ended up playing six games for the shittest team in the history of the A League. And then buggered off back to non-league football in the UK. Ah. So there's your first one. There's your link between Dean Gordon and Australia. But yeah, any excuse to look back at some of his goals on YouTube's a good excuse.
Bit of homework for leaving, me.
Yeah, after leaving New Zealand football, he took a step up into non-league English football.
And the rest.
Something like that, yeah. Well, he went from New Zealand football to Australian football, and then the step up to non-league football. So it was a tiered process.
Mark, look at Dean Gordon. Look at some of his goals, especially the one at Bolton away. Oh, he hit that one.
I will, mate. Christ, next time I'm on YouTube.
Got an England B cap, didn't he?
It was Clay. Yeah, he was there or thereabouts.
Yeah, I think he did. There you go.
We sold him to Borough, didn't we? We sold him to Borough.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be on his Wikipedia page at the moment, Dale, so I assume
you know. No Wikipedia, thank you. And the only reason I knew about Auckland City is because actually a guy who I used to play with at Dunbar, well, I didn't play with him, he was in a higher team than me, but I knew him, he played for Auckland City in a World Club Cup and played against Man United.
There you go.
Yeah.
You
know,
I think they did well.
Yeah. Oh, I think, yeah, well, yes.
got on the pitch. I think did well for the New Zealand, for any of the New Zealand teams or the Oceania Champions League.
Yes,
they don't tend to do very well at that competition
for reasons obvious. They're crap.
Thanks for the clarification there, Rob.
Just in case anyone's wondering why, it is because they are indeed absolutely awful. All right, look, we'll wrap things up there. I mean, anyone listening in Australia, I do believe Crystal Palace Sydney will be donning their boots again on October the 5th. Do we know who we're playing? Is it Watford?
I think the whisper's Watford,
isn't it? Watford.
It's quotation marks Watford, but apparently they're getting ringers in from all over the shop. So if you want to come down, what's the ground, Dale?
It's Seymour Shaw Park in Miranda, and it'll be an exhibition of football. But the most exciting thing to occur is that it'll probably be the first time we do a pod with everyone together, potentially.
I completely missed that. I don't know if it's my internet or your internet. Yeah. I completely missed it. You went the most exciting thing to happen on the internet.
It's cutting out right at the worst bit.
I'll say it again.
But geez, it'll be exciting, though. I think we'll all find out when the podcast gets released what that exciting bit was. When Dale's bit of audio gets through. So I look forward to discovering that.
Enjoy it.
The most exciting thing is... Fantastic. Right, look, so if anyone's around on the 5th of October that wants to have a run around, please feel free to bring some boots. There'll be some very unfit players that won't be playing for very long. And I'm sure, whenever we play, it'll be about 7,000 degrees. It'll be hotter than the surface of the sun. And it's a bloody big pitch as well. So,
and if not, I'll bring my fire pit.
Warm up around Dale's fire pit.
That's it. If you don't want to play, come down, sink some beers. I'm sure there'll be some money going towards a charity of some description as well. It's always a good day down there. And I'll be wearing a whole ton of sunscreen on because either with this dome, it will burn. So leaves me just to say thank you to Dale. Welcome back, mate. Glad you're feeling better and you're in your new house. Congratulations on all that.
Thank you very much.
Marky Mark, stay safe, buddy. Hope the fires don't come too close, and just if they do, just get the marshmallows out.
Ned, thanks, mate.
Ned, I hope your heating bill isn't too bad because with all your heatings on. So until next time, who knows when that will be. It'll probably be in about a month or so, but we're pretty useless at arranging these things, so it might not be. Up the Palace.